From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. A little news out of Ole Miss yesterday. Lee Tyner resigning as general counsel. We'll discuss that a little bit today, as well as one day away from Neil's 124 golf score that's going to come tomorrow.
On the front nine.
Maybe 124 putts during his round at the Country Club of Oxford to preview that with us and who's going to experience it with us. I think Jonathan Randolph's going to call into the podcast here in a little bit. So we'll talk to Jonathan, and we will discuss some different things on the show. Also, I was told to go ahead and ask my question from yesterday about the jolly man in the red suit that I did not say. Some buddies last night said I should go ahead and throw that out there. So we'll do that today as well on the show, the Oxford Exxon Podcast. By the way, thanks to Tom Marsh for listening in. See if we got a download or two from him. If you are listening now, please contact one of us. We'd love to have you on the show to discuss your current situation with Ole Miss. So somebody get that request to Tom, or Tom, give us a shout. NeilMcCready@gmail.com, chase.parham@gmail.com. Podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Smoked ham or turkey for as little as $15 this holiday season. You take it by, they smoke it, they cook it, they have it ready for your table for Christmas. So let them hook you up with that. Also, ribs, lunch specials, and more. They're at the Oxford Exxon, 49-cent bottomless refills at any Blue Sky location in Mississippi, the one in Oxford, again, Highway 6 West, and we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, 662-257-1900 is the number. 662-257-1900, very simple. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It is that simple. There's no haggling, straight to the bottom line. It's a great deal. Get a great vehicle, great service, everything that you might possibly want in your car buying experience from Clark Ford in Amory. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, $500 off. The bottom line, Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
So how are you today? You good?
I'm good. I have a little bit of a crashing headache. I sat upstairs in the playroom by myself last night. I turned on the Thunder and the Hornets.
I saw you griping about a December NBA game last night.
I really didn't gripe. I never tweeted about it. I just simply said that's – I have told myself with the Thunder I'm not going to judge until Christmas.
Almost Christmas.
And it's almost Christmas. And last night, 2 weeks before Christmas, that was a game that was worthy of judgment. It's not working.
Okay. So,
other than that, I kind of have a headache, and I have a lot of people telling me I need to read this Tom Mars thing, and I have, maybe because of said headache, when I open it, I look at it and go, I can't read that. And you know me, I am never the guy that goes, well, I can't read that, it's too long. I don't mind long reads. I just look at it, and it's like all these different types of text and stuff, and
all the quotes and the stuff.
Yeah, and I just go, I don't know. I can't make myself sort through that. I understood that he took a shot at us.
Well, he wasn't necessarily a shot. He knew your full name. He knew my first name. And he said that he had listened to the podcast.
Okay.
And that...
Hello, Tom.
We...
Thanks for the download.
We had incorrectly discussed his compensation or his motivation because of compensation with it. And that we have no idea whether he was getting paid or not, which is true.
Which is what we said.
That's what I wrote back last night. I said, if anything, I kind of gave him a positive compliment yesterday by pointing out that Brian Dixon was not one of his clients.
I never said that he wasn't getting paid. I've said I question what the motive is unless it's collecting retainers.
Yeah, I don't know if it's personal or not. I have no idea what Tom's
Tom. Tom, I don't know if you've kept up with me much. You're one of your clients, and I have a great friendship. I'm a capitalist, man. Totally. If you want to collect 85 retainers off the Ole Miss roster, I say all power to you. Won't bother me any. It'll piss off a lot of people here. It won't piss off me. Not even a little bit. I'll say good for you. You know that to be true.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is me. You can go get a retainer from every college football player in the country, and I'm just going to applaud you. Everybody rips Jimmy Sexton. I think Jimmy Sexton's the freaking bomb. Get it, own it, baby, as much as you can get. Jake Arrieta wants $200 million. My attitude is good for you, Jake. Go get it.
Get to that stuff in a second. It's going to kind of move in with the announcement made by Ole Miss yesterday about Lee Tyner. First, so here's my predicament. Carly Ann, if you're real sensitive to this, you have young kids in the car, give us about 3 minutes here. Give or take 3 minutes. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to turn the channel, something like that. Just so chill here.
Do, do, do,
yeah. Are you doing the Jeopardy thing?
That's all I can think of.
Okay.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah. All right. So Carly Ann's only 20, 21 months old. This isn't a problem yet.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe it's not a problem later on, but I feel like it is. So, okay. Earlier in the holiday season, she went and saw Santa Claus at the KD house, had that picture taken, done all the stuff, okay?
Okay.
All right. On Sunday, we had Santa brunch at the country club, went and got the picture made with Santa again, did that stuff.
Yeah.
There'll probably be another five or six at some point. There'll be one at Chick-fil-A, there'll be one at whatever. Okay.
Well, he's got a few days left before he heads up to the
pole.
He
does. Okay,
because the elves are doing the work.
So that's the setup to my predicament. As she gets a little older, how is it not a concern that A, or mainly A, they don't look alike at the multiple places in the same holiday season? How is this not a problem? Because the two dudes that have been around for these pictures the last 2 weeks... Let's just say I wouldn't have a hard time picking one of them out of a lineup had they mugged me. So how is that not a problem for a 3 or 4 year old, 5 year old?
Santa
kind of
sometimes, look, there's a lot of events out there. Santa can't be at all of the events. He sends elves or helpers and lets them wear knockoff costumes to go ahead and fill in for him.
So you never actually get the real dudes, which you're telling me it's all a scam.
It's not a scam. It's his elves.
All right, so that's what you tell? That's what you told Campbell and Caroline and Carson growing up?
It's the truth.
I know. That's not what I said. Is that the explanation you gave on this?
Yeah.
Did they ask about it, or did you offer this information up ahead of time?
It seems like they may have asked at some point. Like how
because where this became a thing last night where... I was told to go ahead and ask it, is that one of my good friends, his daughter, who's incredibly intelligent,
right.
I think she just turned 3, if I have that right.
Okay.
She walks up to the helper on Sunday and is very bothered by the fact that he did not remember what she asked for a week prior to that.
There's a lot of kids out there,
little
girl.
My buddy goes, he kind of just looked at her like his pants had fallen down. Like, there wasn't much answer. Off the top right there. So
it's like the movie Elf where Farrell goes, "You're not Santa." I know Santa and you're not him.
So this doesn't bother everybody else like it bothers me. I feel like I'm going to have a situation on my hands at some point.
Well, you will. And you'll come up with some BS answer and she'll buy it for however long she buys it. And then slowly over time, she'll start questioning some things, and then she'll say to herself...
Logic creeps in.
Well, she'll do some self-bartering, where she says, okay, how long do I...
Do I milk the system?
Does the system... Because if I buy out of the system, do I continue to benefit from said system? And at some point, it'll be too much, and she'll move to the other side.
Okay.
You're overthinking it. Big time.
I was just sitting there, and I was staring at the dude and went, eh. And it was a pretty good job. I mean, he looked all right, but just didn't look like the other dude.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something in the system that needs to
be
fixed.
And there's also like so there's only so many Santa's helpers in the area to fulfill these duties. It's like I got a kick out of it the other day because another one of my friends works at another establishment and had to get a Santa breakfast thing going, and one of them looked at the other and was like, "You stole my Santa, by the way." I had him lined up. You stole my Santa. It was all good. I had to find another Santa last minute. So
had to call up to the North Pole.
Yeah.
Hey, could you send down one of the elves?
What reindeer brings them down? They just ride on the back.
I don't know if like do you ride like an individual reindeer? Do you have some extra reindeer?
Are there small one man sleigh that doesn't have the presents in it? So it's like the kayak version. You know, the small little.
I would think just a mini. You know, you have like a mini sleigh.
No chimney for an elf, though.
I wouldn't think it'd be. And elves can be so small. They all have the.
But they're not small. They're big.
They all have the magical powers.
They look
to
like
shrink.
Santa. They're big.
But
they're
not
small.
Magical powers to shrink down where you can fit into anything.
So what's the helper elf that's actually Santa that makes believe to be Santa Claus doing in March, April? Is he making toys too? Is he picking up and moving heavy things for the elves? What are
he
we
takes,
doing?
Well, they take breaks, and then they help.
So he's more of like a temp.
Kind of like
an intern.
It's a year-round deal. Okay. I mean, you don't just wake up on November the 8th and say, okay, time to start getting the toys ready.
But on January 4th, you don't know whether good or bad or somewhere in the middle. So you're making a bunch of toys not without knowing the name going to it.
You're just kind of keeping things. I would suspect they take most of the month of January off.
And then do a lot of bulk building.
Yeah, you build the stuff.
You know somebody's going to want a treehouse.
Yeah, you know that there's going to be teddy bears that are passed out at Christmas.
70 million basketballs are going to be asked for.
Yeah, so you start that process, I would guess, early February. Kind of get the bait.
You start hiring out your contractors, third party, when Walmart needs the help.
Yeah, because you don't know.
Got some issues.
You don't know what the new technology is going to be, what the people at Samsung or Apple or whatever are going to be doing later that year. So you get the stuff that can be done ahead of time. Done. Kind of like if you're preparing for a party, the stuff that can be frozen, you go ahead and do it. You don't wait till the last minute on that.
I think the most highly paid elf is the guy that like does the motherboards for phones and
I would think
things.
So. I would think
that's the Bill Gates of the North Pole.
I would think that's where you send the smart elves.
Okay. The dude that's down here acting in the chair is not that guy.
Well, no. I mean, you might have an elf that's good at building rocking chairs. So you let him go build
that's
rocking
important.
Chairs. Yeah, of course it is.
That's really the foundation of the whole process when you think about
it. He's more
crafty.
He builds the little toy chest and stuff. I mean, he's a hands-on.
His beveling is excellent.
Yeah. And then you have the smart elf that is doing the technology things to sync it
he's
up.
He's
got to
be more
cloud.
Highly paid.
I mean, I would bet he gets more candy canes than the other guy gets.
Okay.
It's a happy place. You don't even need money up there.
Oh, you don't?
No.
There's no currency involved?
I mean, currency's like candy. Cookies. Stuff like that.
Okay.
How come we never see Mrs. Claus? It seems to me that in the day
she was at the Saints holiday party last night.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
It seems to me that in this day and age, she should get a little more attention and a little more credit for the role that she plays. It's always Santa this and Santa that. I mean.
Yeah, she got her picture made with Drew Brees last night.
Still kind of big, or has she?
No, smaller. Yeah,
cut it down some.
Yeah, I think paleo. You know, it finally kicked into the North Pole. It took a little longer to get there, so
yeah.
I think that happened.
When you're that cold all the time, you probably do eat a lot of carbs.
Yeah, like hold on here. It's just not Drew. There was Miss Claus last night in New Orleans.
Let's see. Yeah. They look happy.
Yeah, all good. I mean,
together for hundreds and hundreds of years.
I mean, that might have been the real Santa. I mean, if you get a chance to go to New Orleans and blow off some steam a couple weeks prior to Christmas, you probably take that opportunity, I would think.
I would think so.
Just throwing it out there.
What do you think Santa does, like, 27th, 28th? Think he goes to, like, the Caribbean for a few days?
Ooh.
Just gets away from it all?
Somewhere warm, right? Yeah, you don't stay cold.
I would think he'd want to because he takes his trip around the world. He kind of gets a chance to see some places that he wants to go.
get some ideas, write some in his book while he's scooting on by.
Yeah, I mean, mentions it to one of the elves, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, we'll go to Jonathan in a minute on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Then we'll come back and talk about Ole Miss. By this point, we've done 1,500 podcasts. You love us or you don't, so you'll...
I think it's more like 1,700.
Do you really?
Yeah.
We were discussing this last night. I don't know the actual
number. And I sat
number.
Down and did some math and got closer to 17.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good grief. All right. Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. Kind of like this podcast.
It was drunk math, though.
All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, also a leader in condo financing. So ask about the float down option. As you know by now, you lock in that current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate, 662-234-2704, or by email, jlowe@communitymtg.com.
Chase, I suspect that you know that State Farm is the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know that State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero Miller State Farm a call, go to Google and in the little search thingy, enter Romero Miller State Farm. Read the reviews, and then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, call Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Excuse me, if you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years. Loan amounts to $100,000 and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers also selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Registration for Oxford Park Commission Soccer ends on Friday, so you have until Friday to register your child ages 5 to 16, boys and girls, for OPC soccer. The season starts in February. It ends in April. If you played in the fall, you can rejoin your team for $30. If you want to join a team as a new member this spring, you can. It's just $55. OxfordParkCommission.com.
Now, Jonathan Randolph on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Jonathan, thanks for giving us a few minutes. You are in the Delta doing a little duck hunting, getting your, I guess, your break before you head to Hawaii. Hopefully that will be a little different weather than you're probably experiencing right now over there.
Yeah, it definitely will be. But this is the best time of the year. There's no way around it. So I'm definitely glad to be here, and this is my off season.
You also are allowing me to order you around tomorrow, help us out with this calls we are doing to raise money for St. Jude and a few other great charities as Neil tries to break 200. I hope you said a second ago, Neil's got to get his mind right. Hopefully you are too. You got a lot of caddying to do here. You got to basically be bones tomorrow to get this thing done.
Yeah, definitely. It's good. It's a different perspective from what I'm used to, and Yeah, I've got to get my mind right for that too, because I haven't been on a golf course except on the driving range for probably 16 days now. So, you know, it's going to be nice and fresh for me too.
16 days, huh?
I mean, that's an eternity.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time that happened.
Yeah, I hadn't been on a driving range in about 4 days. It's listen, I want you to know that tomorrow, if you, I understand that, you know, you might be playing in like a golf tournament or something in Georgia in April. If I heard there's one there. If you need some tips tomorrow, just some, don't hesitate to ask as many questions as you need to.
Okay.
If you need some help with your swing,
yeah,
just your putting, your chipping, whatever it might be. I've played, I've kind of played around two different times in the last month. With some clubs, and I kind of feel like an expert. I'm ready to go, ready to help.
It'll be like Stricker giving Tiger some advice, you know, before Tiger goes out.
Yeah,
yeah. That's like a champ. So,
yep.
What is our key tomorrow? Is it to keep wedges out of his hand and chip with seven irons? What is our number one goal going into this 18-hole marathon tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's to less is more. Don't make it complicated. Don't start talking about bounce and the tack angles and stuff. Just say hit chip with the eight, chip with the seven. You know, like let's use all the green we can. And then, I mean, you've had some experience, you know, on the putt-putt circuit or, you know, doing some putt-putt. So,
yeah.
You know, the biggest thing is going to be when we get inside of 100, not trying to think that you're going to hit one and, you know, fly it right back there and spin it back to the hole. Just, you know, make sure we keep some in front of us and, improve as the day goes on, I guess you could say.
I've spent some time on the practice putting green, and I have noticed that unlike the putt-putt courses that I've dominated, over the years, the slope is a little steeper than I'm used to. The ball tends to take off a little bit more than it does, say, on the volcano hole or the hole with the clowns.
Yeah, it's definitely that's Bones's deal. That's my, you know, that's where I'm supposed to guide you and tell you, you know, aim here.
Yes.
And I'll probably be about 6 feet right and short of the hole on a few of them, and just tell you to try to hit it to my feet, and we'll just get it in the right direction. Keep it in front of us. That'll be the mantra of the day.
That'll be the key.
Keep it in front of you.
So you're going to get two of his tee shots tomorrow. We're going to use those on par threes. We're going to use them on number 9 and number 11 at the Country Club of Oxford. And I'm kind of curious, though. We need to at least get him a shot at par on 9 and make sure maybe worse is 4 on 11 if we can do that. What is your expectation? What will you be happy with when the ball ends up on the green on those two holes? How far is he putting for you to be glad that you hit the shot that you did?
Yeah, I mean, I've played a lot of rounds out there, and there have been a lot of times where I've just been happy to hit some of those greens. So, you know, I think if I can give you a couple of, I mean, especially on 11, if I can give you a 30-foot birdie putt, I think I could shave you four strokes on that hole.
If you'd like to make a hole in one, I'm good with it. I just want to let you know that if I don't get to putt on that particular hole, it's all good. I will not be upset with you.
Well, I'm due for one of those, I think. It's getting towards the end of the year. So, we'll take it in stride. You know, make a one. We'll just act like we're pros, like we've done it before, and just keep moving.
Absolutely.
How many hole-in-ones have you had in your life?
I've had 5.
Really?
None of them in competition, though, so that hasn't worked out yet.
Where were they? Any really cool course that it happened at?
The Refuge, yeah, the Refuge.
Okay.
Number 5. No, it was number 7. That was a real good one, but no, they used to have the Wyndham at a course in North Carolina that Davis Love designed, and I was in a practice round with my buddy, and I hit a hybrid, and it was like 230 yards, and it just kind of disappeared. We got up there, and sure enough, it was in the hole. It's funny how
long before you actually looked in the hole? Because I would think I would have to be looking around the green in 50-yard radiuses before I even thought about checking the hole.
No, I walked straight off the back. I walked straight over the back of it because I was like, yeah, no way. And I made a double eagle in competition one time.
Ooh.
And I almost went back and hit another one from the fairway because I couldn't find it. So I just gave up, and I was going to walk back, and my playing partner looked in the hole, and it was in the hole.
Wow.
See, we have a lot in common tomorrow because I have probably 5 hole-in-ones at the Pirates Island Adventure Golf Course in Orange Beach. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
When you make one of those, it's a good feeling. It is. We're going to hit it off swimmingly.
Definitely.
So
on a nice cold day, that's a warm, fuzzy feeling.
So you got a little break here, Jonathan. How did I know you had a little shoulder issue, but you played pretty well at Sanderson Farms. How'd the fall go for you, and kind of what's coming up from your schedule in the early part of 2018?
Yeah, I mean, I was playing good going into the fall. You know, I played good at the web finals, obviously, to get my card back, and I knew I was due for a good week, and so it was fun to do it in front of the, you know, all the people that have watched me grow up and play and do it at home. But yeah, that shoulder thing kind of slowed down the rest of the fall, but I'm ready. It's the third year. I'm kind of over the, you know, this is neat being on the tour, and you know, I'm ready to get out there and stay out there and, you know, compete and try to get a trophy this year.
How early do you have to go? Are you going to Hawaii? I mean, is that time change something? It takes a couple of days to acclimate. What's your schedule going to be that week?
Well, the 2 year or 3 years ago when I went out there, I think I went on a Sunday and just kind of felt fine by Monday, Tuesday. And I think I'm going to do the same. I'm flying out on Sunday, but it can be hard, but ZQL's really good. That'll help put you to sleep the first night, and then, you know, wake up, play a practice round, and won't have walked 18 holes probably in 2 months. So I'll be dog tired. I'll be ready to go to sleep. So it'll work out.
What other events do you think you got in line early in 18?
Yeah, I'm going to go from Hawaii to the Career Builder over at La Quinta, California. And then I'll go over to Torrey Pines and play the Farmers. And then hopefully play the deal at the Waste Management. And then there will only be two more left on the West Coast, and we can get back out east where I think I'll make most of my money. but yeah, I love Torrey Pines. I can't wait to get back out there for that one. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Tough course. And then also, like, I mean, tee time and weather affects things out there. Cause I mean, I've seen in the morning, it's pretty chilly and hard to get loose and kind of a mess.
Absolutely. And that driving range is about the size of, it's ready for a muni. It's not very big. It's about 50 yards wide. So everybody gets out there and it's shoulder to shoulder, and it's fun though. It's, you know, you get people. I actually missed a putt and got mad at a guy because he came up, you know, they fly those things, those paraglide or whatever they're doing, you know, they fly right up the cliffs and ride the winds up the cliffs. And this dude was like, he flew right up on top of me. I had about a 6-footer for par, and he made a noise and like did another thing and just, I mean, hovered shadow like right on top of me, and I missed it. And I looked up at him, and my caddy was like, yeah, Kevin Chappell threw a club at one of those guys a couple of years ago. So that's just part of that comes with the package.
So you're a Callaway guy. I'm assuming they've got some new toys coming out in 18. I'm not telling you to give it away, but I'm assuming you're excited about this. They can continue to increase tech and different things.
Yeah, I am. They actually, you know, their ball's been getting better every year too. And I just went down to Florida and met with them, and they've got three new balls coming out this year, and they're going to be really, really good. But yeah, the driver this year was so good with that jailbreak stuff, and it's going to be really good. They're excited. I hit it. I'm already in it. I've got one of each of the models. They got the Sub-Zero like they had last year, and then a regular one, and it's hard to get me excited about golf clubs. I'm pretty old fashioned. Like, I stick with what I got and go with it. But I'm switching right away. So
I'm just curious here, and this is going to be a golf geek thing, so listeners, I apologize. How does that work as far as testing the equipment? I mean, how many swings are you taking? What is that process like to do that?
Yeah, so, you know, they've got those $20,000 TrackMan, you know, radar things down there, and they can read the spin on the ball and, you know, everything. And they can basically see where you hit it on the face now too. They know if you miss hit it. And I went down there the other day, and, you know, they have a crate of golf balls, and they got all these heads and shafts combos and stuff. And they just make you hit about five at a time. And after you hit them, they look at the numbers and compare it. And sometimes you hit one or two and they just take it from you. And they're like, no, that's terrible. So, you know, it's just kind of trial and error. And they know pretty much I've been around them for 5-6 years now, and they know my swing, they know my game, and they know pretty much what I'm going to need, you know, before I even get there.
What's the difference in the club that you're hitting versus the club that people are buying? I mean, it's all shaft mainly is the difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys. It's amazing. It's like anything in any sport. You know, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But, you know, for the most part, I've got a little bit of glue shot in the back, you know, of my driver head, and it messes with the COG and makes it so that if I hit it in a certain spot on the face, it's hotter. And the spin's different, but you know, for the most part, I grew up playing out of the used bin at Evan Watts, you know, for a long time, and there's definitely a difference, but you know, once you get into good shafts, you know, that's really difference, and they've gotten really good in the last 5 years. Stock shafts have, so it's there's a difference, but there's not that much difference.
We will hopefully raise a good bit of money tomorrow, have some fun. You know, Neil's already been thinking about it for weeks. You got your script planned out on the outfit and everything for tomorrow, ready to go?
Yeah, I'll text my wife and say, hey, make sure I got some clean clothes for tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, Jonathan, enjoy the hunting. We will see you in the morning, and we'll have a good time. Thanks to Jonathan for today on the show, and really for tomorrow as we hope to benefit several great causes. Have some fun and maybe make you guys laugh in the meantime as well with some videos, photos, and story from Neil's adventure on the golf course. The podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com. I've been telling you for a while. Time to get that sildenafil. It is the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. You can break it off into a half, quarter, or take the entire pill if you so desire. Be ready in as little as 15 minutes and same length of effectiveness as those other guys. You can give them a call at 662-252-2321 with any questions you might have up and down the gamut. Also, fill out the form there at Tyson Drugs and give them your doctor's name. The prescription will be ready and they'll even deliver it to you if you need it at home. So, again, 662-252-2321.
I have to stop thinking about jokes. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. With that pill, it add strokes to your game, not take them away, right? Okay. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair.
Hey, everybody needs a little length off the tee, you know? I mean, I don't know what the...
Wherever you can get it.
Yes.
their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. It's Comer's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. Just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell them that Gene and Sandy and the people there at Grenada Nissan, you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You'll get rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's December. They're motivated to get vehicles off the lot. Take advantage of that motivation and get an even better deal now than you get any other time of the year. We're also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
So as we wrap up this part, again, you can go to our page. It is linked on Twitter, Facebook, and on the site. You click through to the St. Jude fundraising page. Make a gift if you just want to do a standard donation. Had a lot of people giving pledges even last night. Emailed me with a pledge where you give a certain amount per stroke from Neil McCready tomorrow. Either way, let's make this happen for a good cause. So we're going to do that. Also announced today that Ben Craddock, David Craddock, and Craddock Gold are kicking in $5,000 to several different charities, three different charities we have chosen. And what we're going to do with these is when we get to the 14th hole tomorrow, Jonathan is going to hit three drives, and we're going to have a different charity on each ball. And the one that goes the farthest gets a certain amount next, and so forth. They're not going to make the difference as much where these charities are punished because of one ball going farther than the other. But we have a little fun, and those charities are the Heart of David Ministry, the Ted DiBiase, Craddock, and those guys who help a lot of underprivileged children. Also, Heartworks, really cool deal where in different places they put out art supplies. I think it's on Tuesdays, and homeless people and different people that need some help come and paint and do some things artistically at the end of the year or multiple times a year. They have art sales essentially, and the people doing the painting get 80% of the profit. Really helps them out a lot. And then also I think the 20% goes back into for supplies and just making sure the program runs itself. And then lastly, I've had a lot of experience with them, obviously. I want to help out. We're going to donate to the pediatric center at the Tupelo Hospital to replenish toys for the children, the patients, as they get toys and just have things available to help them out while they're in the hospital. So we're going to help those three things in addition to St. Jude. So hopefully you help us out with that, and we'll do some good tomorrow and, again, have a good time in the process. So thanks to Jonathan. Neil's definitely being my guinea pig in all this, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, it's going to go.
About 80 yards at a time and straight left. But yes. So.
Yeah, it's going to go 80 yards straight and another 80 yards to the right.
I'm hoping today goes okay so your mindset is good going into tomorrow. Frankly, I'm a little worried about today, if you want to know the honest truth.
Well, here's the thing.
Putting you in blind might have made me feel better, honestly.
Here's the thing. This is where my complete lack of self-confidence as a human being is going to come in handy. It usually is a life detriment. In this case, it's a positive because, like,
well, the whole point is you're bad. I mean, it would be different. You know, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
So it's not like you can get pissed off because you don't get something straight.
Of course not. I'm just going to giggle at it. And so the good thing for me is that a couple of bad holes and people are like, well, you know, it's going to snowball. No, it's not going to snowball. I mean, it is going to be what it is. And I'll just go from one shot to the next. For me, every shot is a new opportunity to have a good shot. For me to be able to go, oh, that was good.
Well, yeah, you have 198 strokes. There's going to be like six where you go, hey, that was pretty nice. And that's what you'll be talking about the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Because
that one drive on 16 that goes 215 right down the middle, you go, hey.
Yeah, and you guys are going to be like, oh, wow, how do you do that?
Yeah.
See, this is how the golf gets addicting. And so I'll have a couple of those somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm not going to be the type that goes, oh, I have this figured out, because that's not me. I'm the guy that 10 straight things good happen to me, and I'm going, okay, something bad is coming.
The bell curve is too far on this side. Yeah. We've got to move.
This something awful is headed in my direction.
Yeah. So, all right. Really, the only Ole Miss things happening yesterday, Shea Patterson confirms his transfer to Michigan. If that shocked you, I'd love to have the rock you were living under the last
no
90 days.
Doubt. If that disappointed you, I'd you've either been just oblivious or you are living a charmed life. Yeah.
About 2 minutes after it was announced, Ole Miss football tweeted out a picture of Jordan Tamu. I kind of did laugh at that. Yeah. I appreciated it. Yeah. But
the only thing I'm going to say at the people that are doing this, the attrition is a good thing. Well, no, it's not. It's not a good thing. Shea's a good quarterback. I think Shea needs a year off. I think Shea needs to get away from his dad. I think he needs his brother off the coaching staff. He needs to go be a regular player. He needs to work on his mechanics. He needs to work on his decision-making. But there's a lot of talent there, and that is a lost talent from Ole Miss. Van Jefferson's a good receiver. He's not a great receiver, but he's a good receiver. Van caught 40-something balls. Losing Van Jefferson is not a good thing. The rest of them are just dudes that are going for other opportunities. That happens at every program.
The positive in this, and again, it's a very nuanced positive, is that it at least appears it hasn't been catastrophic. That is where it is. The only positive for Ole Miss is they're not losing 28 guys. They're losing guys right. That mostly were leaving anyway. So the NCAA portion did not have a large effect on the process at all.
The NCAA cost Ole Miss two guys that were going to help the program. Two. Now that's two. It's a quarterback and a wide receiver. It's two really good players. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shea Patterson's a really good player. In August, everybody at Ole Miss was raving about having the best quarterback in the league.
He was the face of the program in August.
So it is a loss. When people go, it's no loss. Yes, it is. But it's like you said, and this is the part that when people say you guys are being homers, I'm not being a homer when I say the other good news is it's almost over. You get to move on. You get to turn the page. It's why when people say to me, who would you have hired? And I say, I would have nothing against Matt or anybody over there. I would have completely turned the page. Gone blank slate. But they've done a really good job of, even though they're some of the same faces, they've done a really good job of turning the page.
My favorite media move yesterday was throughout Shea Patterson's career at Ole Miss, most media members said number two quarterback in the country behind Jacob Eason, although the only person that had Jacob ahead of Shea, I think, was ESPN by one spot, 24/7, Scout and Rivals all had Patterson first.
Okay.
Suddenly yesterday, Shea Patterson was the number one quarterback in the country that is transferring to
Michigan. Now, who did this?
Oh, everybody. Oh, it was almost unanimous. It was yesterday, finally, he was the number one quarterback in the country. He'd been number two behind Eason for several years, but now they are correctly pointing out his ranking. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, our own company used somebody else's ranking when discussing him a few months ago. So
it's about 40?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to search to find ESPN rankings, or you just make it up as you go. I don't know which one, but either way. That was my move. That was my favorite yesterday. So, also the Tyner news. He is out as of December 31st. Perry Sansing is doing the interim job starting January 1st of 18. He was an assistant council member.
He's the leader in the clubhouse on this national search.
You immediately noticed that they had put national search in the press release.
Tone deaf.
Think so?
Yeah.
Considering what's happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people buy that.
It's funny you use those words because I think that's mostly the reason or one of the reasons for yesterday and anything else that happens is that people don't buy it. It's that the administration as a whole has lost so much faith in the fan base has lost so much faith in the administration.
They've lost the public trust.
Yeah, the trust is gone where Lee Tyner had roles in different NCAA things. Dan Jones had a tremendous role in the NCAA process at the beginning.
Huge role.
It's not all on one guy, but it's on a lot of guys, and it did not go well to this point. They added a second year. So
there's a public perception that is false.
Okay.
There's a public perception that Ross Bjork and Michael Thompson and all of those people rolled over and took it for years. That's false. They fought. If you made me guess, I would guess there were some conversations that got heated. There were some correspondence that was not pretty. Those are not people who just roll over and take it by nature. They are not people who are reactive. Those are people who, if you write something that they deem to be wrong, they will get on you. Well, they'll get on the NCAA too. But the public didn't see that.
No, they took a different tack than other schools.
You're looking for an online sportsbook with fast payouts and an easy-to-use
interface. A public trust issue.
Look no further than
they didn't fight behind the podium.
Payouts in only two business days, the best customer service out there, the best odds, and even live.
The way that some other people cooperate as far as handing over documents. I mean, look, there's been a lot of other schools where a lot of stuff just kind of gets lost, and I don't know, and you shrug your shoulders and go, you don't have subpoena power.
I don't know how we lost those phones, but we did. I don't know what's
Can we
on.
Check your phone? Yeah, hold on. Let me clear that real quick. Here you go.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing on this.
Oh, are you serious?
Damnedest thing.
Well, where was that? No habla inglés. No comprende. No habla inglés. Tu madre es una puta. I mean, come on, man. I mean, no one does this. No one does that exemplary cooperation BS. And long before Bjork and those people really had power in this, that was the role that Ole Miss took. That was the Lee Tyner, Dan Jones tack. And people say, well, that's what the league encouraged them to do. And people say, well, had it not been for the draft night shenanigans, the problem with that draft night shenanigan explanation is that the NCAA didn't stop investigating between the time from the first NOA and draft night. There was an active investigation during that time. And the draft night thing just put fuel to the fire. Draft night's not in the second NOA. Leo Lewis is in the second NOA. Ole Miss didn't know about the Leo Lewis immunity interview until after it had already gotten down that road. And that's probably where, from a public trust standpoint, if you had a do-over, if you had a mulligan, you would go back at that moment and go public and go, wait a minute, let me tell y'all what's going on here and fight the NCAA. Because most people who fight the NCAA win.
I don't think Mars releasing emails to whatever site yesterday had anything to do. That had nothing to do with the decision with Lee. I mean, that it didn't. That decision was already made by that point.
I wouldn't think that it had anything at all to do with it.
It's not a good look. I don't know if it's a comprehensive look. That's what I was telling Neil a minute ago. I hate to really go into detail a lot about this article. If you haven't seen it, it's all over the internet. Just search. I don't know. Whatever. Mars says a lot of stuff, again, about us, about Red Cup Rebellion, about Tyner, admits that some of the bad relationships his fault with Tyner as well. But he sufficiently paints a picture that he was ignored by the Ole Miss administration when the nut stuff first started coming to light. It appears that he has one line in here at one point in an email that he had sent to Lee Tyner that says, I didn't take that personally, Lee. I know you have your plate full. However, I did think that was a pretty arrogant thing to do, meaning not to respond. And it did cross my mind in the following weeks that you might later regret treating Houston and me like we were just annoying background noise that wasn't worth your time and attention. In any event, 8 Tuesdays ago would have been a good time for Houston and I to meet with you and Ross. Now, however, with the benefit of the information we've acquired from more than 200 hours of investigation, we don't have any interest in talking with you, Ross, or anyone else at Ole Miss. That said, Houston and I appreciate your belated offer. That was from Tom Moores to Lee Tyner on July 11th, 2017.
Hard to argue that.
He opened that email with, I hope you'll recall that back in May, I suggested we talk before I started calling Sports Report.
Wait a minute, that was July the 11th?
Yeah.
Yeah. When was Media Days? Right around that time?
That week, week before, week after, yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
By that point, they knew about the Asian massage parlors.
I guess the escort service, but either way. Yeah, whatever.
Same thing.
It's sort of semantics.
You're not getting deep tissue massage from any of those people. It's something else entirely.
Yeah, it was 8 Tuesdays ago that Mars had asked to talk. In the July 11th email, he mentions that 8 Tuesdays ago, and then he says, given the number of emails you were CC'd on in connection with my subsequent request, it's pretty clear that you didn't just forget to call me, you decided not to.
And yeah.
Given the correspondence that I have in front of me, it's hard to argue with
it's a hell fact. Of an arrogant decision not to call him back. Why would you not call him back? I would have called him back. You said you were going to call on Tuesday. Call.
Meet with him.
What? Why not? What the hell else are you doing? That's what the fans want to say. I've asked you this question. If they handle Tom Mars differently and they give Houston Nutt some money and an apology and say, go away, Hugh Freeze still the head coach at Ole Miss today? He'd lost the locker room. That's obvious from talking to people.
I think it still gets out. I think.
There's one question that a lot of people ask. I'm almost hesitant to ask it, so probably won't. It's a fair question. Did no one else inside that program know about this? no one else know that the head football coach was doing that stuff on road trips and other times? Did no one else know? Because it's possible, but that's one hell of a note.
Yeah.
Hard for me to believe that, I'll be honest. It's difficult for me to believe that none of the people around him knew.
Oh, I agree.
It's almost impossible for me to believe that.
So, again, that's there. Make of the emails what you will. I read the one that was the most damning. There are a couple other ones that just shows kind of back and forth correspondence that, frankly, didn't amount to much. It was a lot of clutter more than anything else. But that was the one that was striking to me, I guess, as you read that and read the full article. Again, it's like winningcureseverything.com or something like that. Anyway, search for it. You could read it if you haven't. It's Tom Mars, mainly talking about Tom Mars. So, podcast brought to you in part by Bastercuts Lawn and Landscape. It's a full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. Let them help clean your fence line, get your yard tidy up as you get holiday family and people in for Christmas. Also, if it's time to get that Christmas gift and build that outdoor living area, they hook you up. If it's a fence, stone patio, deck, arbor, or other kitchen area, maybe, if you even want to go that extreme with it. Neil will see a lot of examples of that tomorrow out on the golf course at the Country Club of Oxford. And you can get a free quote now, 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide. All the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. Oxford University Bank is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So, are your Thunder going to miss the playoffs at this point?
I mean, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll make the playoffs, but it's hard to say. They're not a very good basketball team right now. Did the Dolphins hold on to win last night?
I thought they won last night. 27-20.
Yeah. You know who was really good last night? The part that I watched, and I didn't watch, but I watched a quarter. Jay Cutler was really good last night.
New England did not have a third down conversion the entire night last night.
Hard to win doing that.
The entire night.
Hard to win doing that.
It's kind of crazy, actually.
It is.
So. Let's see. What else is going on in the world? An MLB umpire is retiring, saying that concussions are the reason. Did you see this? Dell Scott retires rather than risk more concussions.
Well, I mean, it's understandable.
Saw maybe 1 million pitches from the field. Said he's done. Took another one off the head recently and said that while undergoing treatment for head, neck, and shoulder injuries, he realized it was the end of a major league career that began in 1985, included three World Series assignments, 91 postseason games. In fact, it was pretty easy. I wasn't planning on this year being the last one, but I thought this is a sign he had taken a shot from the bat of Trumbo at some point.
You keep those shots, direct shots to the face and stuff, that those have to be concussive by nature.
Yeah, I just never really thought about it. It wasn't a
no, you didn't.
What an aspect.
There's awareness now that is.
Are we doing all the bowls, or are we just doing the major bowls? What are we doing for Pick'em?
Doing all the bowls.
Every bowl.
I got to get started on that.
Starting with like the one in 5 days or so, whatever that first one is.
I'm gonna have to sit down and get started on them. I mean, we might end up missing a couple of them because I don't get it done in time.
Just picking straight against spread, winner yep. wins. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
Just kind of curious. So, Thank you.
I did Hot Works yesterday.
Did you?
The infrared thing.
Yeah.
Because Campbell's getting that as a Christmas present.
Yeah.
And so Jeremy let me.
How was it?
Work out. Hot.
Really?
It was good though. I did a rowing thing. I did a spinning thing.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
People should try it.
All right. Thank you for, again, helping us out, listening, checking out the site at rebelgrove.com. Be back with another podcast on Thursday. Again, no podcast tomorrow because of the golf round. But if you're on social media, on the message board, we'll probably entertain you a little bit throughout your day. We're going to tee off mid to late morning and then hopefully be done in time to, well, before dark, and in case Neil does decide to cover the basketball game. So that tomorrow. On the site at rebelgrove.com, and we'll talk to you again, probably talk to Jeffrey Wright also on Thursday morning. Take care.